Not always an easy thing to talk about, but something important nonetheless. Friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, through the words of the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees in the Bible, at least the ones that have it out with Jesus, play a role similar to some journalists today. Now, I don't mean to blanket condemn journalists. I have a lot of respect for most journalists who take their job seriously, reporters who look for the facts and see the truth in our world. In fact, I think sometimes the reporters of our world might actually be the prophets of our day. And I also don't condemn Pharisees. I think most of them were probably good people, despite what we get a flavor for in the gospel texts. I think they worked hard, most of them, to preserve the traditions of a faith that they saw slipping away from their world. And in this way, they're a lot like many Christians today. But some of the Pharisees, like some reporters in the media today, had seized upon the tactic of the gotcha question. The point with a gotcha question isn't to gather information, rather to catch an often influential person in a moment of embarrassment or humiliation. The hope may be that the person being questioned might be discredited. Some of the Pharisees came and to test Jesus, they asked. We should know right here and now that the question to follow is not one that can be simply answered. So when Jesus responds to this gotcha question about marriage and divorce, we need to listen carefully to what Jesus says and also to what he doesn't say. Remember a few weeks ago, we talked about this idea of law and gospel. Law being the message that tells us what we should and shouldn't do. Stop when the light is red. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't steal. Don't murder. You know all of the rules of the world. But the law is also what convicts us. When we have broken the rules, the law is the red and blue flashing lights or the look that your mother gives you that stopped you in your tracks. The law tells us that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, to borrow a phrase from Paul. And really, no one can say that the law doesn't apply to them because no one is perfect. The gospel, on the other hand, is the free gift of God's grace that says you are set free from the law. You are forgiven. You are loved. It's the milk and cookies your mom had ready for you even after you were grounded just because she couldn't be mad at you forever. The gospel is Jesus' resurrection that proclaims to the world that God has overcome the power of death and nothing will keep us from the love of God. So back to the Pharisees. When they come to test Jesus, they're all about the law. They want to trap Jesus. They want to convict him. They want to sow seeds of discontent among his followers, some of whom probably were divorced themselves, and some of them who held a belief that divorce was morally wrong. But Jesus does something interesting here. As has been the case over the last several weeks, at least some of them in our encounters with Jesus, Jesus doesn't respond in the way that we think he should. Jesus doesn't say, at least not out loud, that God loves all people, even those who have been divorced. But that doesn't mean that he's not thinking it. But for now, out loud anyway, Jesus plays along with the Pharisees and their insistence on the law. Jesus confirms that even though the law of Moses provides a legal pathway for divorce, in fact, divorce is against God's design for harmony and kinship in relationships. Jesus quotes the passage from Genesis that declares God's design for people who are married to live faithfully as joined by God himself. Jesus doubles down against divorce in a way that makes us cringe even today, right? No one who has gotten divorced likes this Bible passage. I haven't even been divorced, and I still don't like it. But like I said, we must look at what Jesus says and what he doesn't say. And we must consider that while Jesus talks about sin here and in other places, Jesus also talks about forgiveness a lot. I think we have to recognize here that Jesus is not afraid to speak the law in all of its pain and condemnation. Like the police officer who has to say, "You ran that red light, and now you're going to get a ticket." Or the wife who says to her husband, "I know where you were last night." Jesus confronts us with the truth of our lives in ways that makes us want to crawl into a corner and disappear. How many of us have spoken an insult to another? We are guilty of sin. How many of us have withheld help from a neighbor or even a stranger in need? We are guilty of sin. How many of us have believed that we could have the riches and privileges of this world while millions go to bed hungry and thousands will die because of our greed? We are guilty of sin. Have some of us been convicted of crimes? Have some of us cheated and got caught? Have some of us been divorced? We are guilty of sin. But the very presence of Jesus in our world, the very presence of Jesus in our lives should remind us that God has shown up because we are guilty of sin. If that wasn't the case, God would certainly have something better to do. If the fire department shows up, it's because something's on fire. If animal control shows up, it's because a bear has gotten into somebody's garbage. If God shows up, it's because there's been some sinning going on and God's going to fix it for Christ's sake. That Jesus points out our sin in no uncertain terms is by no means a reason to despair. Rather, we should be overjoyed that Jesus is with us, because as you know, God is in Jesus, working his butt off to save the world from sin, to save you and me from the power of sin and the sting of death. And this is the gospel, that in the face of our infidelity, our brokenness, our pain, and our loss, God is in Christ restoring life, healing wounds, comforting us in our grief. I don't know anyone who likes divorce. I don't think anyone really sets out to say, "I hope that someday I can experience the wonder of divorce." People who get divorced, as many of you know, recognize the pain that they have suffered and also the harm they've inflicted. But so do all of us in all kinds of situations in our lives. In fact, sometimes Divorce is a necessary part of life if it needs to happen so that healing can come about in the future. Even kids don't always benefit from parents who stay together. Sometimes the best thing that can happen is that parents go their separate ways and let kids love them each in their own way. Is it ideal? No. And Jesus points that out. Maybe he pushes the point a little too hard. But we also know that Jesus longs to forgive. I can't imagine that I'm the first person to say this, but if somebody wants to give me credit for it, I'll take it. God can forgive the person who gets divorced. The question is, can the rest of us? When the Pharisees come to Jesus in order to test him, and they toss out their gotcha question about divorce, Jesus is probably all too aware of the double standard that is at play. The Pharisees, who are all too willing to grant that divorce happens, even legally, but they're also the first to hold a grudge against those who have that particular scarlet letter on their chest. And that's what happens in our world too. Certain sins, certain people who commit sins, we hold them extra accountable and keep them from the saving power of forgiveness. Sometimes we even do it to ourselves. Perhaps that's why the author of Mark decided to put this wonderful little story about children here, immediately following these words of Jesus. If you need to open up your bulletins and look at it again, you can do that. Jesus welcomes the children. People were bringing them to him, and the disciples, those who should know better, spoke sternly to these freeloading parents, it seems. But Jesus was indignant. "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." Such as these. Little children. Kingdom of God belongs. Beloved of Christ, we are those children. Loved and welcomed into Jesus' arms. We are broken and tired. We are sinners, every one of us. And Jesus forbids anyone or anything to withhold our coming. Let us repent of the ways that we have withheld others from receiving Jesus' embrace. Because of divorce, because of hurtful things said and done to one another, because of any of the myriad of sins that cling to our lives. And when we are the ones holding ourselves back, saying to ourselves, "Jesus could never love a sinner as rotten as me," let us all the more be wrapped in the gospel. For purer gospel words were never spoken. To such as these does the reign of God's love and grace belong. Amen.